Welcome to episode 165.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 165. We are delighted to have you with us today. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have either, whether you have a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent. Even if you are just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this is for you, because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using, of course, the right gear and the technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So we welcome you and are honored that you choose to put us in your ears this week. Now, I'm not going to be politically incorrect here when I say that our interview of the week coming up a little bit later is about the girl camping movement. I'm not politically incorrect there. There really is a girl camping movement. And in fact, it is one of the fastest growing segments of the recreational vehicle movement. Women old and young are following their dreams. They're buying RVs and they're traveling the highways, the byways of North America. And in this week's episode, we're going to talk a little later to a leading ambassador for the girl camping movement, who has a lot to teach all of us about the joys of traveling with an RV. Plus, we've got RV news and tips and travel ideas all coming up in this episode of the RV Podcast. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we're back home.
We are.
We returned to Michigan
Sunday night
after pretty much 2 months on the road. And we'll be here. Wow, we're going to set a record. We're going to be actually in Michigan probably 3 weeks. No. We're here. We got a trip in about 3 weeks, right after Thanksgiving. We're going to Louisville for the annual trade show of the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association. You want to go up and boondock in the woods.
I do.
And that's coming up soon, because you want to go boondocking, because tomorrow we are reunited with Bo.
But we don't get to bring him home until Friday.
For those of you who are regular listeners, you will know that Bo, our Norwegian Elkhound, who turns 2 in just a couple of weeks. When is his birthday?
December 3rd.
December 3rd. He'll be 2. Bo didn't go with us on this last trip that he, for the past 6 weeks, has been in a very special advanced off-leash training program. I said that he was going to college. You said reform school.
Well, he's a good boy.
He is. And it's a pretty neat operation out in Metamora, Michigan, where he is boarded and trained to be off leash, so he can really travel with us as much as we can, and he will obey 16 commands. We've got a whole list of them that we've been going over. And do you remember any of them?
Yeah, but I was going to say, let's just be honest. Anybody who has been with us on one of these campouts and has met Bo,
yeah, we have a lot of witnesses,
said you better get that dog trained before he hurts you, because he's all muscle. We've got 55 pounds of muscle, and he takes off, and we're going too, whether we want to or not. So hopefully we're not going to experience that anymore.
Yeah, well, we pick him back up, or actually we don't. It's an elaborate process. Tomorrow we go and we observe. I wonder if we'll even be able to talk to him.
If we I just don't have know. To watch, if we get to
like
see
hiding or something.
We'll be...
We observe him being trained and going over everything, and then we leave him there. We have to come back home, and then we go the next day, right?
Yes.
And I think then we work with him.
We work with him. We do the commands.
But then we still have to leave him there, and we come back home. And then on the third day, the trainer brings him to our house.
Yes.
And then
he's ours.
And then So, and then I guess we get some follow up. Do you think we're going to be as well trained as Bo?
Well, I just hope that we don't undo what they've taught him. We've got to be good.
We have to be good.
We have to be consistent.
Okay. Well, we got to work over our 16 commands. What I've got some of them are well sit, down. Stay, down, off,
quiet, leave it,
quiet, hop, get up on a place. And the big one is place, where you point to him and
a designated spot, area, a
and he goes and he sits
place,
down.
And then stay.
And heal.
Yeah.
And then let's go. A couple of others. So anyway, we're really pretty excited about it. And the trainers are great. They've been sharing pictures and we've watched him. But he looks like he's working hard. That's all I can say. He's got his ears back. But we get Bo back tomorrow. And
we'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be reunited tomorrow. So we'll say it that way. Speaking of dogs, did we get the reaction, Jen, to last week's episode 164 when we talked about the proliferation of fake service dogs. As we reported last week, it's become a national disgrace. And we're sorry to say that a lot of RVers are involved in this. They register their dogs to these various companies that are just in it for the money. They register them as service animals and they get some sort of dubious ID that so designates them when they haven't had any training at all. No real service dog training. And the registration is just a sham so that they can take their pets with them wherever they want. And a lot of people emailed us and left comments on Facebook and on the blog about that.
I was really upset when you told me the story about the pit bull that attacked a real service dog.
Well, I have, that happened in Colorado, yeah. And the pit bull owner said that his dog was a service dog, and it wasn't at all, but attacked a service dog owned by a blind guy, as a matter of fact. Well, we have kind of, it's not an attack, but it's kind of a similar comment that I saved from all the comments and the feedback we got from one of our listeners who owns a therapy dog. Now, therapy dogs are really, really pretty wonderful animals. They provide a real service. They are registered and trained. And what therapy dogs do is they visit hospitals, they visit special needs centers, they visit hospices and schools and nursing homes and other facilities, and they're owned by some very caring volunteers who are willing to share their pets and bring smiles and joy to people young and old alike and in bad situations, and they do a really great job. Well, listen up as this listener named Kathy shares her comments on the story that we talked about last week on fake service dogs. Here's Kathy.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and I just wanted to offer a little bit of insight into the dog problem. My dog, Zamboni, who's a Newfoundland, is a therapy dog accredited through the Association of Therapy Dogs in Wyoming. And she's allowed to go in public places by permission. So if I want to take her on the bus, I have to ask the bus driver. If I want to take her into a restaurant, I have to ask the restaurant. But we got certified so that we could go to the hospital. And we've run into problems because the hospital, they used to let any dog in with anybody. And now they obviously let service dogs in. But apparently there's a big problem at this hospital in Colorado with people bringing in fake service dogs. So I'd like to ask people, please don't get your dog fake certified because it can cause problems for the therapy dogs. My dog is very passive, but there are some therapy dogs that have issues with other dogs, and it can be a big problem. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Kathy, for phoning that in. That's one of the reasons, another reason why this whole thing with fake service dogs is just a bad idea.
Our last dog, Ty, we took him to the nursing home to visit people. We took him, my father had to be there, had some health problems, and he was there for a bit. And we would let Ty go visit people from room to room. Ty was a very mellow, passive dog.
He was not trained as a therapy dog,
but he was just a nice dog.
Yeah, and the people at the nursing home got to know him, and they said that's fine. I know a guy, a really great guy that I know down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, at the dog park. And
Bo's girlfriend, Princess.
Yes, he owns Bo's girlfriend, Princess, and she's a little Australian shepherd, and he takes her two or three times a week to a senior citizen center. And a senior citizen's home, not a center. It's a nursing home. And the dog jumps right up on bed. And I don't know if Ken got his dog trained and certified as a therapy dog or not. I know she has some kind of a tag on her, so... But you know, a real therapy dog has some training.
Now that sounded bad, saying that Princess jumps up on the bed with people.
No.
I better explain that one.
Yeah, he's got a couple of people of patients who love to have the dog, and they pat, and the staff says sure, and the dog discomforts and jumps up and snuggles up to these people but he's invited up there. He doesn't jump up on his own, or she doesn't. Princess, that's Bo's girlfriend. See, Bo's. I approve of that arrangement with Bo. He can date Princess.
Long distance.
Yeah, well, Bo will be going back to that dog park. We'll be back there in a couple, 3, 4, 5 weeks, I think, hopefully. So anyway, that's the latest on the dog thing. We probably won't have a lot more to say about that unless it breaks out into the news. But I thank everybody who weighed in on that topic, and we got some great feedback, and we appreciate it very, very much. Hey, this portion of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Campers Inn. Campers Inn is the RVer's trusted resource, has been for over 50 years now. They are the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership. They have 16 locations across the country, and they're growing. Campers Inn is home of the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. This is a big deal, folks, because that means that you are never going to be surprised by hidden upcharges and fees. That when you get a quote for a new RV, it includes everything: freight, orientation, detailing, prep. They sell motorhomes and travel trailers and more from the industry's leading manufacturers like Tiffin Motorhomes, Grand Design, Coachman, Thor, Forest River, and Campers Inn exclusives, their own brands like the Gulfstream Friendship and the Cruiser Embrace. They have award-winning RV sales and service, hundreds of RVs at the best prices, certified trained service personnel, professional staff, years of RV service, and home of the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. Check them out. Campers Inn.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Okay, this week's tip comes directly from Jennifer's School of Hard Knocks. Yes, I learned this tip the hard way, and it happened this past week as we were packing for a long 1,000-mile trip from Florida to Michigan. After we started loading up the RV last Friday, we went through our usual routine of bringing in all the clothing, the food items, and the related things we needed for the trip home. When I went to the lower storage cabinet next to our refrigerator, I noticed a smell. Not a dirty smell, but a clean one, a very clean one. You guessed it. Dish soap had spilled all over the bottom of my cabinet. All I can say is after 5 years, I'm lucky this never happened before. It was a mess. In the cleanup process, I got soap on the floor outside of the cabinet, bubbles and slippery. It took pretty much a whole roll of paper towels and 15 minutes on my hands and knees sopping up the mess. And then we had to wait another hour or so to resume packing for everything to completely dry. The lesson? Store your cleaning supplies in a container where they can't tip over. I should have known better, but now you do. Hope my hard luck lesson will spare you the extra and needless work I went through. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
This tip of the week brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on premium and powerful electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a special discount for listeners to this podcast. Rad Power Bikes, you have seen them. If you've done some traveling this past season, and if you've particularly been on the road the last couple of years, you've noticed more and more e-bikes out there, and Probably the e-bike you're seeing the most is the Rad Power e-bike. They have a series of different e-bike models that fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs, and all those models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They all give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can use 5 different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine the two. It's perfect for people who want to get back into riding, maybe recovering from a surgery or injury, and are looking for just that little extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And the thing about Rad Power bikes, besides the quality, is that they are priced at often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markups are cut out. You deal directly with Rad Power bikes. Now, I mentioned free shipping. That is a big deal on an e-bike. But if you mention Road Trekking at checkout, you will get an additional $75 off, plus, as I said, free shipping on all their bike models. Visit radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
I have a 2017 SS Agile. It is all electric. And what I want to know is, with the heat, where the control is, it doesn't say furnace or anything. It just says like air conditioning or, and it says off. I've turned it up so the heat would come on, but I'm not hearing anything. Is there something that I'm missing?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of a heater you have. You didn't tell us on that, whether this is the all-electric model that uses the propane system. The only propane, or if there's no propane at all, it would probably be heated by the diesel engine on the Sprinter that you have, the Sprinter model that's the SS Agile. Most of the Agiles I know are heated with a Suburban furnace, and you'll find that often located on the passenger side of the aisle beneath the side bench. That's where the furnace actually is located, and it has a little vent there. It's controlled by a Dometic thermostat, and that's usually mounted on the rear side window, right above the rear side window area at the back. There's a number of different settings on that control. You can go to furnace, and you would then set the desired temperature to touchscreen. So you have to kind of set the mode, whether it's furnace or fan. The fan on that, by the way, continues to run for a minute or two after the furnace is turned off. That's it's controlled by a heat sensor on the heater, and that's normal. Now, your air conditioner, I wonder if that's what you're talking about. That is equipped with often with a heat strip on some models, and it might be what you're talking about. They have a setting there called heat, and that will appear on the thermostat along with furnace. And if you set it to heat, that strip will heat the coach when power comes through either the generator or shore power, but it won't function in the coach batteries. And your air conditioner, that little heat strip there, and it doesn't really warm up the thing. So I don't have a lot of information based on just that call. I suspect you're either not using the right thermostat or maybe you have an issue. What you should do is go to RoadTrek.com, not Road Trekking, which is our RV lifestyle blog, but go to RoadTrek.com, and you can search under support, and then drop down, and you can get all the RV manuals for every model they have, and you can go to the SS Agile, your model, and look it up there and give it a try. But perhaps a better thing to do, just to make it really quick while you're in the RV, is just pick up the phone. Road Trek, I know, has a support line that is staffed during the day, on weekends, in off hours, in the evenings. And if you have a Road Trek, just write this number down. I'll put it in the show notes as well. But the number is 800-663-0066. 800-663-0066. And just tell them, and exactly what you have, and you can be looking at it as they ask you their questions. So the manual, or that, or as I said, maybe you're not looking at the right controller there for the Agile, and I just don't know what you have. You say it's all electric, which Normally, they put in the Aldi heater on the all-electric models. That's what we have, and that's controlled by a little color touch display located, you know, on the back wall over the driver's side sofa. And it's pretty easy to operate that. All right, I have another. You can tell it's getting cold. We have another heating question. This from Vicky.
Hi, this is Vicky from Seattle. We just bought a 2014 Road Trek E-Trek, which we love. We have one question, though. Our Webasto heater tends to be pretty loud, especially when we are sitting outside by the campfire. Have you found this with your Road Trek? And if so, what have you done to reduce the noise? Thanks.
Now, we had an E-Trek, and we had the Webasto heater, and yes, it is noisy. And that runs, that's controlled, it's powered by diesel from the engine. And maybe that was the same as our Sandy above in the incident, in the question we had just a moment ago that Sandy had. But it is noisy. The Webasto heater is very noisy. And I don't know how to get around it. It's a forced air heater. And as many propane forced air heaters as well, they're noisy. However, I don't think I've ever heard it sitting outside around the campfire outside the coach. So if you're hearing it out there, I would run it by a RV dealer, or again, call that special support line from Road Trek and explain it to them. Yeah, it is noisy. And when it's on, that's what I don't like about forced air heaters. When you're sleeping, you know, it cycles on and wakes you up, and then you get used to that noise, and then it turns off and that wakes you up. And that's why I like the radiant heat that we have with the Aldi heater that we have had in our last two RVs. And there's other models of radiant heat heaters or hydronic heaters like that that you can get besides the forced air. But Webasto is the forced air, and forced air by nature is noisy. However, again, it shouldn't be so noisy that you hear it way outside your vehicle. That number again, by the way, for Road Trek and their support is at 800-663-0066. If you go to the show notes for this episode, which is on our RV Lifestyle, our Road Trekking blog, just go to roadtrekking.com. And if you go there, you'll see all of our podcasts are linked there. And each podcast, the show notes that I go and all the resources, all the numbers, all the help that we mention in this podcast are linked right there. And of course, you can listen to the podcast as well there, as well as through your favorite app. But we'll put that support number on our show notes for this episode. And you can go directly to that show notes episode at roadtrekking.com/165. And that'll take you directly to the post for this episode, roadtrekking.com/165. All right, one more question. The travel season for 2016 is pretty much over as winter is gripping the country rapidly these days. So everybody started to think about 2018.
Hey, I'm looking to see if there's anybody out there that's wanting to plan an Alaska trip next summer. If you would, just get back on this and let us know. Put a post on here or something. I don't know how to post on his website, but anyway, let's get her going.
All right. Well, you know where you should post it is on our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. And just say, hey, I'm going to Alaska. Who else is going? And you can carry on an offline conversation, or you can start your own group to plan that. Many people do that as well. And you'll have a great time. But lots of people are going to Alaska. A whole bunch of people are heading out that way. And a great way to go is to find others who are going about the same time. And then you guys can hang out together. And somebody's got your back if you don't show up on time. It's quite an adventure. Lots of people going. So best way for you to get that going is go to our Road Trekking Lifestyle Facebook page, which is facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. Sponsoring our questions of the week every week are our friends at VanCityRV.com and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. If you're in the market for a Class B RV or a small Class C, you know that they are in very high demand. And that's why you will want to check with these three dealers, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. They all specialize in vans, Class Bs, Class Cs from all the major manufacturers. They have new and used models in stock on the lot right now, ready to deal. Road Treks, Pleasure Ways, Leisure Travel Vans. You can check them out just by going to VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com. Here's our buddy Dan, the Van Man from Van City RV, to tell us what they got going on this week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, this week we got a whole list of nice used Class B motorhomes. You can check all these out at the website. We have a 2016 Dynamax Rev, a 2016 Airstream Interstate, a 2016 Coachman Galleria, a 2016 Road Trek 190 Popular, a 2016 Road Trek CS Adventures, a 2014 ERA by Winnebago. You can check them all out at the website or give us a call today, and let's make a great deal.
All right, that's Dan the Van Man from VanCityRV.com. All right, time for our interview of the week. And this week, as I have been saying, we are going to talk about girl camping and the girl camping movement. And our guest today is Janine Pettit, who is probably the best known ambassador for this very fast-growing girl camping movement. She encourages women to go places and to do things on her podcast, Girl Camper, and on her blog for Go RVing, on her Facebook page, and through frequent public speaking engagements. She's a lifelong lover of camping, who took a 25-year sabbatical when she married a non-camper. But she discovered that camping was still in the cards for her when she stumbled upon an article about a woman's outdoor adventure group that travels around the country in RVs, meeting new friends, checking off bucket list adventures, and doing things that she had only dreamed of. So welcome to the program, if you will, Janine Pettit, the girl camper.
Well, Janine joins us right now, and Janine, this is a privilege to have you on the program. Where are you? Tell us where you are right now.
I am in gorgeous Northern California at the In-Town Campground in Nevada City, California.
Well, it's good. Now, it looks like you got a sweatshirt on or something.
Yeah,
so.
It's a little chilly out this morning, 41 degrees. And I, you know, I'm from New Jersey, so I actually flew here because I've been following this campground for so long and I wanted to camp with some of my California friends. So I'm in a glamping tent here for the weekend. And having a blast.
Well, let's start off by talking about what is Girl Camper about. Now, you can say Girl Camper, but boy, in these politically correct times, when I title this thing All About Girl Camping, everybody's going to be yelling at me. So get me off the hook, first of all.
I'm going to do that for you, Mike, because even some women say to me, oh, isn't that kind of like shaming or like politically incorrect to say Girl Camper? Well, no, because people don't expect women to camp on their own. And my whole thing with Girl Camper is, look, if you don't have anybody to camp with, if you are like me, married to a man with his own hobbies and no interest in camping, doesn't mean you can't camp. There's a whole group of women out there, and they mentor each other, and they help each other, and we're girl campers.
And besides, didn't you have the expression, camp like a girl or something at one point?
Yeah, I mean, look. Yeah, girl camping is different than man camping. We care about our environment. We care about our campers. We want to be outdoors, but we want to be comfortable doing it. And so here I am. I'm in this beautiful glamping tent. When I'm traveling on my own, I've got my great little trailer and my 800 thread count sheets. And my husband doesn't care about that kind of stuff. And so that's what it means to camp like a girl.
And again, for those of you who might have missed it, the intro, Janine is in Northern California. She's at a speaking event, and she flew out from the East Coast, so she is in a glamping tent.
Yeah, enjoying every second.
That's right. Be pampered. So let me talk about your story first, because I think a lot of women will relate to that, and probably some men too, because it also holds true on the other side, that your spouse or your significant other is not a camper, but it's in your heart. You want to go.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
All right. So I grew up in a camping family. I'm one of seven kids. We camped. We had a blast. And I was a kid on the south side of Chicago, and my parents did not think a rented cabin in the Wisconsin Dells was a vacation. They put us in that pop-up with the station wagon and took us to Nova Scotia, the Bay of Fundy, all over Canada. We went far and wide, and it's a gift I feel like my parents gave me. And it's one of the most significant memories for me of childhood, just the fun that we had doing that. And so I married a non-camper, and I just figured once I took him camping, he would get it, and we would be a camping family. But I took him. He didn't like it. And so that was the end of it. Like, we were sort of at a stalemate about it, and then I saw an article in a magazine about the Sisters on the Fly. It's a group of women. Yep. They travel all over the country. And I know you've had them on your show. I listened, Mike. I remember when you and Jennifer ran into them at an event.
We did.
On the road.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, when they were doing Route 66. And I showed that article to my husband, and he's like, oh, my gosh, your people have found you. You've got to join this group, like, immediately. And that was 12 years ago, and I bought myself a little vintage 1959 Field & Stream, and I took off, and I've been going ever since.
So tell us what girlcamper.com, your podcast,
okay,
your website. You're kind of a mentor for a lot of these women, and walk through some of the concerns they have and how you sort of help them learn how to camp like a girl.
Yeah. So when I started camping with women, I saw safety issues. I saw women who were towing with tow vehicles that were not big enough for the trailers. And I just thought, you know what, let me start blogging about this. There is a, you know, there's some rules here in that women need to have fun, but they need to be safe while they were doing it. So I started blogging about that, and I came to the attention of Go RVing, who came to me and said, would you write a blog about glamping? And I said, let's call it girl camping, because I want to talk to the women in the Class A motorhome, in the Class B, to the lady with the pup tent in her kayak on top. I don't want it just to be about women in vintage trailers trolling around the country. I want to talk to every woman who wants to get out there so she knows she has a place where she can find resources that is going to make her safe.
So what are some of the things that you teach and advocate that particularly resonate with women? And first of all, I suppose getting them to realize that you can do this. This isn't that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the number one thing, and I've seen this over and over, is towing. I'm afraid to tow. So the first thing I tell women is, look, towing is a skill set. Once you learn the principles of towing, you are going to be more comfortable with it. So I encourage them to just go online and watch the YouTube videos on from U-Haul. Like, let's learn what it's about. And then I say, look, it can't be that hard, because we're in a statistic world here. U-Haul would not let you tow away a trailer after watching a 20-minute video if their statisticians told them they're likely to be sued.
Yeah.
So go over to U-Haul and rent their 1999 little trailer and tow it around your town.
That's a great piece of advice. Yeah.
Yeah, and I tell women that, look, that if you're moving your kid home from college, they're going to give you one. Take it empty. Just drive it around town. Go on a weekday between 10 and 2 when the traffic is not heavy. Build up that confidence and take towing step by step.
All right, so towing is a big thing. What else? I mean, I know women are worried particularly about being vulnerable out there, safe on the roads. What kind of advice can you give them for that?
Well, there's safety in numbers, so like we do encourage group camping, but often I travel someplace to an event by myself, and I may be on the road 2 days by myself. I do not encourage women to camp in Walmart parking lots alone or any of these places that allow you to just camp in a parking lot. I highly suggest you do not do that. Now, I have done it with 10 or 12 of us, but not alone.
Now,
you know, so you need to be aware of your surroundings.
You know, I think that even holds true for other people. I think I read a story once that chronicled crime in Walmart parking lots around the country. And it's nothing against Walmart. They're a great organization.
Right.
But they're public, they're huge, they're out in the open, and there was a lot of incidents of crime. And people just think that it's automatically safe, that, you know, you're protected by Walmart. Well, that's not necessarily true.
I did a show on it last week. I had a personal safety expert come on, and she's also a solo woman RVer, and she teaches personal safety, and she's on an upcoming episode, and there are incidents there, and, you know, to me, Mike, there's no level of risk that's acceptable.
Yeah.
So the most acceptable number is zero for me. So when I'm traveling alone to an event, if I'm not in a gated KOA where I feel completely safe, I stay in a hotel on my way to someplace.
That's great advice. What about all the other things that are involved in camping? You know, hooking up electricity, hooking up the hose, dumping. Ooh, that's a big one.
So we developed a program called Camper College. And what I do at Camper College is I partner with RV dealerships and I get them to invite the women to come there. And what we do is we walk everybody through the systems of a trailer. Okay, this is how it goes on the hitch. Because the number one fear women have is this is going to pop off the hitch. You're constantly looking in the mirror in shock that it's still there, right? So we take them through it. This is how it goes on. This is the safety pin. And these are the chains. The likelihood of this coming off is very slim. But once they can see that and see the mechanics, they're like, okay, I'm not afraid of that anymore. And then we show them step by step. Now I'm at the campground. First thing I do, chalk these wheels, you know, then step by step. How do I get this thing off? How does electricity come in? How does water come in? When I flush, where's that water going and how do I get rid of it? So we demystify trailer ownership and we teach women really how very simple the systems in an RV are. And once you have that knowledge, then you begin to feel like, you know what? This is doable. I can do this.
Now, you're talking a lot about towables and about trailers, but these principles also apply whether it's a camper, a pop-up, whether it's a small motorhome or a big motorhome. You talk about safety in numbers. How do women connect with other women campers out there?
Well, there's all kinds of groups.
Sisters on the Fly, we mentioned, and we'll put a link to them in the show notes.
Yeah, that's one of a big one. They have almost 10,000 members, and they're more likely to mentor you. I promote the Sisters on the Fly, even though there's all kinds of groups. I'm here in Northern California, and a bunch of girls from a group called Toe Girls are here.
Toe Girls.
Girls. And then there's the Florida Floozies. There's the Getaway Gals.
Wait a minute. The Florida Floozies. I love these names, yeah.
And up from your neck of the woods, Mike, there's the Mitten Kittens.
The Mitten Kittens. This is great.
The Mitten Kittens from Michigan.
Now, guys, don't do this. Boy campers, we don't do this. We got to think of our own names. This is a good idea.
Well, you're Mr. Sisters is what you are. So if you're married to a girl who camps, you're a Mr. Sister.
All right.
Mr. Sisters are always teasing me. They want their own T-shirt.
Yeah. You know, it's not an official group unless you have a T-shirt. That's what I've always said. Yeah.
So they, you know, finding this group of women and knowing you have people who are in your corner, like a lot of women are afraid, okay, I can tow this thing. Now I get it to the campground. I'm not going to be able to back it in. So I say, you know, it doesn't matter if you can back it in. I went 3 years just renting pull-through sites.
Now, Ginny, I wish we had a whole hour show to go with here, but give people an idea how they can reach you, how they can follow you. I know girlcamper.com and your podcast is all accessible through there. You also write for Go RVing for the RVIA organization. What other things? And you speak all across the country.
I do that. And I'm also a brand ambassador for Liberty Outdoors. And they host a lot of events with me. So they're very good partners in helping. They get their RV dealerships to go on. So you can find me at girlcamper.com. The podcast comes out on iTunes every Tuesday morning, rain or shine, unless I have really bad connectivity somewhere. And Girl Camper, you can find me at my Go RVing blog.
That's great. And I'm on Wednesday, you're on Tuesday, so we can everybody's got their whole week planned out with all of us. Well, Ginny,
plenty of good RV content out there.
Thank you so much for being a guest, and let's get you back. Let's stay in touch. We should do an event together sometime. That would really be fun.
Mike, when you're in Michigan, I'm going to bring those Mitten Kittens over.
I'm never in Michigan, though. That's our home, but we are on the road as much as you or more, I think, these days. I keep thinking I'm going to be easy.
The whole month of April in the beautiful state of Texas, if you find yourself down there.
We will be. We'll be here. We'll be in fact, Texas, I want to be there when the blue bonnets bloom this year, so that's our goal.
That's April. In Texas. It's happening this year.
All right. Janine Pettit, our guest, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. Okay. Take care now. Safe travels. Hi to Jennifer.
All right, Janine. Hey, thank you so much. That was fun. Mitten Kittens, the Florida Floozies. We'll put links to all those girl camper groups on our blog for you to look at, the ones that Janine mentioned. And there's a lot more out there as well, but those are the ones she mentioned. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. That's right. You buy from Sunshine State RVs and they will deliver that Road Trek to you in your driveway, wherever you happen to be. I talked with Nick Schmidt from Sunshine State RVs just this last week, and we caught up on what's going on. We're planning a big gathering there, a road trekking gathering not too far from Gainesville, Florida, where Nick is based at Sunshine State RVs, and they'll be there helping out with that gathering. And we're trying to work out a deal where Jennifer and I, after the first year, can stop by Sunshine State RVs, and we'll come and meet everybody and maybe have some lunch for everybody and get a chance to meet our friends there and all the snowbirds down in Florida. Sunshine State RVs is a pretty unique dealer, and we're just delighted to have them, because I'm always getting questions and calls from people who wanted to know, how do I find a good used Class B? And I have to tell them that there is nowhere in the country that has a larger inventory of used Class B RVs than Sunshine State RVs. No matter what kind you're looking for, whether it's Road Trek or Pleasure Way or Winnebago or leisure travel vans and other brands, you will not find a wider selection of used Class Bs anywhere. They also sell brand new Road Trek Class Bs. They've got the whole lineup there at Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida, or their website, sunshinestatervs.com. Here's the thing that impressed us when we visited Sunshine State RVs. Every unit that they sell goes through this very thorough 172-point inspection, in which they ensure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV that they sell is road tested ahead of time, so they're sure when they sell it to you that it runs and drives the way that it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as the outside. Every component is turned on. It's tested to make sure it works. All of their used RVs are thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks, and they replace any silicone caulking that might be needed. You check them out if you're in the market for a used Class B or a brand new Road Trek Class B, SunshineStateRVs.com.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
And that means it's time for us to check in with our pal Steve Van Dinter.
Hi there, Mike. Well, now that it's November, folks are already starting to talk holiday. That means family gatherings, gift shopping, and meal prep. Thankfully, help is available thanks to today's technology. Google Assistant on your Pixel 2 can help with a variety of cooking tasks. Just squeeze the sides and ask for a recipe to cook the perfect turkey, or a substitution for butter and mashed potatoes should you run out at the last minute. In addition, when it comes to taking the picture-perfect family photo, you are covered thanks to a best-in-class camera as well as portrait mode. And with unlimited photo and video storing for Pixel 2 users, you never have to worry about running out of space. Well, we know your hands aren't always going to be clean or free in the kitchen, so simply say, "Hey Google, play some holiday music to create a festive atmosphere from your Google Home Mini." And you can do that without lifting a finger. Plus, if you've got multiple Google Homes in your house, you can link them all together and make the music play throughout. Well, you can also set and name multiple cooking timers so you can juggle everything in the kitchen at the same time. Just say, "Hey Google, set a 3-hour timer called Turkey," and you're set. Step-by-step cooking instructions are now available as well. Just search on your device for a recipe, then click on the Send to Google Home button. Then you can say, "Okay Google, start cooking," and it'll walk you step-by-step through the recipe. Well, if you find menu planning challenging, you'll want to try the Food Planner app. Create your own recipes or import the ones you find from any website. Input an inventory of the ingredients you've got on hand, and Food Planner will create a grocery list of items you still need. And if you really want to make sure your turkey doesn't go afoul, you can download the Butterball Cookbook Plus app to your device. From selecting the right size bird to adding the right sides and seeing the recipes come to life in video, this app has it all. And finally, looking to warm up your environment but don't have a fireplace? No worries. With a flat-screen TV and Chromecast Ultra, you can cast a high-definition virtual fireplace right into your living room. Then after dinner, use it to stream a heartwarming holiday movie. Well, with this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right, and this part of the podcast from Steve brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. It's the one that we rely on when we are on the road doing our YouTube RV lifestyle videos, trying to send, you know how hard it is to send upload video to YouTube? It takes so much bandwidth. We do it through the Verizon Wireless 4G LTE network. Zip, it's there. We do all of our photos uplifted. All of our internet connectivity in most of the country is provided by the beautiful 4G LTE network. When I say beautiful, I mean that it's like a 95% coverage, and we go to some pretty remote spots, and we rely on Verizon for that. When Verizon says better matters, they mean it. They consistently are ranked highest in all the leading network studies out there and multiple tests year after year. Can your network say that? If not, well, it's time to make the switch.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Hey, we had a ball just a couple weeks ago in Pensacola, Florida. And a couple of road trekking friends, Kathy and Les Chanteau, invited us to Pensacola. They said that, how'd you like to go to a free air show? We said, yeah, with the Blue Angels, no less. Now, I got to tell you, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Blue Angels because this is one of the most exciting things I did in my 40-year career as a journalist. And I mean, I've been everywhere as a journalist. But one of the neatest things I ever did was when the Blue Angels came to Detroit one year for an air show, they would always bring up, allow a couple of television reporters from the market to go up and in a Blue Angel. Well, I was one of them one time. And what a time that was. That was just an amazing to get in the back of one of those Blue Angels as that pilot took it through some loops, turned it through some G-making turns where you experience two or three Gs of, whoa, that's pretty intense. And then the speed, the maneuverability of those planes are amazing. So ever since then, I've had a soft spot for them, and I just love to watch them maneuver. And when Jennifer and I went, we did a video on it. It's on our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel, but let me just play the audio from that video. I'll put a link for the video itself if you want to see it on our show notes, but if you can get to the Pensacola area on any time between March and October, twice a week, the Blue Angels practice there, and you can go right on the flight line and watch them practice for free.
One of the great things about Florida's Emerald Coast are all the attractions that are close by.
For example, a free air show twice a week.
The Blue Angels is the U.S. Navy's flight exhibition team, made up of aviators from the Navy and Marines. Each year, they perform before 15 million people in exciting air shows all across the country. But here's a great tip. If you're down along Florida's Panhandle from March through October, you can watch them practice twice a week.
The practices are run from the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, and you get to watch right from the flight line on the edge of the runway as the team executes its precision maneuvers right over your head. There are chairs you can rent, but the practices are so exciting, you'll be on your feet turning every which way not to miss a single pass.
The Blue Angels seemingly defy physics with spectacular aerial feats, some at speeds approaching 700 miles an hour. Each practice session lasts about 55 minutes, and admission absolutely free, though you must have proper ID. No pets are allowed.
After the practice, you can tour the Naval Aviation Museum and look at exhibits and restored aircraft going back for decades. The practices start at 11:30 a.m. Central Time, but be sure to come early as traffic leading to the airbase on practice days can get very heavy.
The Blue Angels practice twice a week, March through November, and it's free.
You can get their schedule from the Blue Angels website. We'll put a link to that in the description below. We're Mike and Jennifer Wendland. Please subscribe to our channel right here on YouTube. Thanks for watching.
All right. We'll put a link to that video. You can actually see the video if you want to go to it. Just look at the show notes for this episode. If you go to roadtrekking.com/165, and you can see the Blue Angels and that video that you just heard the audio report from. But put that on your bucket list. If you're anywhere around Pensacola from March through October, you want to watch the Blue Angels practice. Plenty of parking for RVs. Very friendly place, and really up close and personal, watching those incredible aerial maneuvers. The Off the Beaten Path report for this podcast, sponsored each week by Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's newest dealer and a third-generation family business located in Minnesota's beautiful Chain of Lakes region. And the whole dealership is built on quality motorhomes with excellent pricing and excellent service. The Steinbring family, since 1917, has been bringing you the best products and service within the transportation industry. Their sales staff at Steinbring Motor Coach brings you decades of experience in the RV industry. They're celebrating 100 years in business this year, and it's a third-generation family business. Their name is out front, and you know that they treat everyone there as if they are family as well. Along with being named a Blue Ribbon dealer and being a top 50 dealer numerous times over the years, they offer new and used Newmar Class A motorhomes. They wanted to carry what they felt was the most reliable and the best valued motorhome they could find, and they settled upon Newmar. Then a couple of years ago, and that process took a couple of years to happen, they started saying, we want to bring in a Class B. They're so popular. And so they researched all the different Class B manicures, and they decided the most reliable, the best value, Road Trek motorhomes for Class Bs. So they sell brand new Newmar Class A's and now brand new Road Trek Class B's. They also have a lot of pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Road Trek and Winnebago and Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco, and more. So whatever you're looking for, Class A, Class B, Class C, a diesel pusher, gas, toy hauler, you can find your next RV at Steinbring's Motor Coach. They're located in the Chain of Lakes region in Minnesota, not too far from Minneapolis. And we visited them this summer. We're very impressed with their large indoor showroom. So if you're going to visit them over the winter months, you know there's a lot of snow up there. Beautiful, beautiful place to visit. You can tour these motor coaches inside because they have a beautiful indoor showroom. Steinbring Motor Coach, award-winning sales and award-winning service as well. Please let them know that you heard us talking about them right here on the RV Podcast.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
Hey, we really like it when we get your messages, so just go to roadtrekking.com. Right on the right-hand side, you'll see a little area there where you can click. And you use the microphone that's on your smartphone or your tablet or your computer, and you can record over and over and listen to it. Make sure you're happy with it. Then you just push send, and it'll come right to our email inbox. And who knows, you could be on the podcast as soon as next week. So send us those questions, those comments. We love, love hearing from you. So this is the end of another episode. 165 is in the proverbial can. Remember to let us hear from you. We love your feedback and comments and all the things we talked about. And if you want more information and the resources that we mentioned in this podcast episode, just go to the show notes that we have on our travel blog, our RV lifestyle travel blog, which is roadtrekking.com. And the show notes you can find by going roadtrekking.com/165. Don't forget to also check out our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. Just go to RVLifestyleChannel.com. Till next Wednesday and another episode, on behalf of my wife Jen and our dog Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. See you out there, road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.